Welcome to a galaxy far, far away. Here at the Cantina Podcast, we provide top shelf service, including rumors, leaks, news, and reviews. Come in, order a Loman Ale, and remember, no droids allowed. It's almost like I just want to take a dart, like I said before, and throw it at my monitor, but that would be dumb. Maybe I could get like a sticky dart. You remember like when we were, well, you're a little older than me, so of course you know these, if I did. But you remember the sticky toys you used to get out of the quarter machines, and you throw them against like a wall or a window, and yeah. And your siblings, and you would race them as they slid down.
They would like fall down the window and like catch on because they were sticky. Exactly. Like, yeah, you still get them. My son had stuff like that when he was younger as well.
Yeah, I want to get one of those when it's time for, like, you know, what random Star Wars-ness do we want to talk about, and I can throw it at my monitor.
There's a couple stories this week.
Oh, no, there's some good ones this week, and yeah, first off, I want to say... what's that?
We may not be able to cover them all, does that mean?
Oh, probably not. First off, I want to remind everyone that the Cantina, which you're listening to right now, is re-releasing our we're pulling a George Lucas, yeah. But I didn't edit anything other than the images, and I edited the image for the podcast, and I put it on YouTube. So I promised you guys the original Cantina experience unaltered. All the mistakes are still there too, just like George Lucas should have left sometimes. But anyways, yeah. Those are going out once a week on Wednesdays. Attack of the Clones went up this week. Cam and I did that with Brian Brantley, which was very interesting because Brian actually likes that movie and defends it, which I still don't know how.
There's still that bit I see that there's a moment in Attack of the Clones, which is one of the better, which you remember me saying, the very sort of finale moment montage is still one of the best moments in all of Star Wars to me. Apparently the rest of the movie didn't come up to that, but that closing montage kind of shot from the point of Master Obi-Wan, that victory is actually immense, and it's well shot and well directed.
Yeah,
well, surprisingly, but
almost as if maybe if that was like the assistant director that day or something.
Maybe it was.
Quick, George isn't here. Everybody, let's film something good. Hey, hold on one second. I see cat paws under my door. One moment.
Ew. Come here, kitty. Come on. Come on, kitty. Come on, kitty. Come on. There you go. Your puppy friend is over there.
Sorry about that, ladies and gentlemen. And with the welcoming of our office intern, Kione Makibi, the orange tabby cat, best friend to the office manager, Riza, the beagle door of adorable doom. Welcome to the Cantina with myself, Kyle Malone, and my co-host, Cam Clark. Cam, what's up, buddy?
Yeah, nothing much. All good. So it's been a good news week this week.
Yes,
on the Star Warsville, but you know, there's been a lot of good Marvel stuff as well because Kevin Feige's been talking a lot, and whenever Kevin Feige's got something to say, you have to listen because that them's the facts, you know. That's the boss guy. So what he says is always copy.
Unless something changes his.
Yeah. I mean, like nothing's set in stone.
Like when they decided to take all the stuff they had for the Inhumans movie and put it into the Eternals instead.
Yeah.
Changes.
But that's just one of those, yeah. But at that point, remember, they hadn't announced any yet. So what they tend not to do is change much that they've announced. Obviously, the pandemic had some issues there, but that extreme situation, if you like. But usually, they stick to what they've announced. But yeah, they're a bit more flexible by what's going on behind the scenes. So yeah, he was talking about this week how they're basically planned up till like 2027, 2028. But you know, we're not going to find out about that because those aren't solid plans.
No, yet. If you want to hear more Marvel stuff, go listen to LR Mornings where Nick and I talked about it a couple times this week. Manny and I talked about it, and our Marvel Multiverse Monday show, we got to talk a little bit about some of what Feige said over the weekend.
Yeah. And, but there has been a little bit of Star Wars news this week. Some of it kind of semi-official.
Surrounding
some of it
him.
Involved in Kevin Feige. But there's been some, you know, unofficial stuff, some rumors as well from our friends over at KRT have had some information this week, which I'll just say, agree with. Is probably the best bet to say kind of what we've heard from our source. There's nothing that we have heard that would disagree with anything they said in their article, but it's 100% their scoop. So there's definitely some things to talk about there. Another kind of maybe story is Liam Neeson. We've got a few things this week, depending how far we want to dive deep into it.
Yeah, let's kick off with Feige real quick. Because I think it's short, sweet, and to the point. As of right now, there can be only one Kevin Feige Star Wars movie.
Yeah,
or there can be only one Star Wars movie that Kevin Feige is involved with at this time, and no plans in the future. Does it seem?
Which, you know, it's not always what I thought, you know, going back a little bit, but I think we're in a different place now from where we were when I was starting to think, you know, what if, you know, Kevin Feige's going to take over, and, you know, we speculated that in a couple of podcasts and talked about whether it'd be good, whether it'd be bad.
But so you got that big promotion.
There's been this huge expansion of material, not just for Marvel, but for Star Wars as well. That's obviously Disney Plus and all that stuff that they've announced in the Disney Investors Day. And this is all stuff that clearly, Star Wars-wise, has nothing to do with Kevin Feige, apart from one project, which is unannounced really at the moment, other than the fact he's making one. We have no idea when it's coming or anything. And then, obviously,
well, we know
the amount of work that
the writer,
put in.
Yeah, I was going to say, we know his writer that he's bringing
well, we
with
know
him.
That. Yeah.
And that he's producing, and that's basically it.
The writer of Loki, I forget the guy's name, sorry, but he wrote Loki, basically he's showrunner on Loki, and he's also had some other dealings with Marvel before, and he has written... yet to be filmed Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness as well. So clearly Feige is a fan of him.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
What Feige said was, you know, it was asked straight to him, you know, are you going to have any more involvement with Star Wars going forward? And he very simply, as you said, no, not at all. And that's not, you know, the kind of thing that Kevin Feige would say and then come out with a year later, sorry, I couldn't tell you about it at the time, but yeah, now I'm emperor of the entirety of Disney. You know, that's just not the way he would mm-hmm. say nothing. Or as the people who wrote the article, you know, and interviewed him said, like, they've interviewed Kevin Feige many, many, many times, and he doesn't just lie to you. You know, he'll either talk around it in a very, you know, one of those political answers where he says a lot but actually tells you absolutely nothing.
Like the Spider-Man 3 comments earlier, which you guys can hear about on LR Mornings earlier this week.
Yeah, so yeah, it has been making stuff. But yeah, I think we can pretty much just rule out the whole, which were crazy theories anyway. I mean, I'm not saying I wouldn't necessarily have welcomed Kathleen Kennedy getting the door after I watched The Rise of Skywalker, because I probably would have been quite happy. Yeah, I'd have given her a lift to the airport, to be honest, at that point.
I think you would have been happy to see Bob Iger get the boot at that point.
Probably. Wipe them out. All of them.
All of them.
So, yeah, I mean, you know, that's as fans, we just get and angry about things, and the sequel trilogy was just a disaster to me. Anyway, but things have moved on since then, and it looks as if, you know, at least until next year sometime, and then who knows where, but whether Kennedy stays on or steps down is unknown at this moment in time if she renews her contract, yeah. which is 100% up next year, and we've not heard any news about it getting extended. But it doesn't look like it would be anything to do with Kevin Feige, whether she stays, goes, or not. It's not going to be him. Feige's got too much good on in the MCU for a long time yet.
He's stepping up to do one of the Bob's jobs, either that weird pseudo position they created for Iger so he can still get paid a shit ton of money. I know it's not really a pseudo position, but it seems kind of redundant when you hear it. Feige is bound for Disney executive like office.
He might have no desire. Like, if you were making Marvel movies, you know, that probably is your dream, right? Making Marvel movies and making Star Wars movies. That's my dream, right?
Mm-hmm.
Would you take the promotion to end that and just be in overall control, and basically you'd make more money, but, you know, you'd just be making top level positions, wearing suits, going to meetings, making sure the budgets match, and being a figurehead for the company? That doesn't sound very entertaining to me. I'd rather just retire.
If it's me with Kevin Feige's brain combined with mine, absolutely, because I think I can open more avenues.
You've got that and more stories thing going on. You know, that's something that
at that next level.
Got in your education. You know, as you know, educated in business, and I suppose that just to me, I guess I'm more of the artistic type, if you like, that, you know, does other jobs, because I have to, at the end of the day, I have to pay a mortgage as everybody else. But, you know, I'd rather be, you know, that bohemian kind of, you know, just writing shit. You know, I would want to write movies and produce movies, and once that dream was over, I would just retire.
You're the socialist beatnik, and I'm the capitalist pig sitting here thinking, if I'm Kevin Feige, how the fuck do I go from making $24 million and $22 billion?
I'll still be recording podcasts, but Kyle will own them in some way.
Yeah, I'll actually
be working for Kyle.
What Ray Kroc did to McDonald's? I'll own the property that you get your podcasts on. Anyways, Feige, I'm interested in what it is that he's doing.
If
he's attached to anything that we know of or not, and then or if it's completely on its own.
Has been announced, Taika Waititi is already writing his film with someone else.
Yeah.
I can't remember the woman's name, sorry. But, you know, the two of them have already said they're writing his film. And this is who's hired to write. So I don't see any particular attachment between Kevin Feige and Taika Waititi's film. At the moment... Wait a minute. Let me clarify that. In terms of Kevin Feige being involved in the actual production, I'm not saying they wouldn't connect the stories in some way, because we just know so little. I wouldn't possibly even comment on that, you know. I mean, that would be just pure speculation. So all we can see is basically Kevin Feige's not got a little hand in Taika Waititi's work, is what it sounds like to me. If he's saying outside of the movie that he's producing, which is basically we know the writer of, we don't know the date of, we don't know the name of, we don't know the era of, we don't know anything about it other than who the writer's going to be. So it sounds like it's very early on in that process to me. Like, there's just a basic concept at the moment, you know. Feige's pitch is there still, but that pitch hasn't yet become a reality.
Or they've switched gears and brought him on to save Rogue Squadron. Anyways, shifting gears.
No, that's not true.
Talk up your boys over, or not just your boys, our boys, us boys and girls, us fans, all get to enjoy each other's content and stuff. So tell us a little bit about KRT and the this story goes back a long time, ladies and gentlemen. Going to a source that they had about a sequel to, was it Rebels or Clone Wars?
An animated Rebels sequel.
There you go. Go ahead, Cam.
Was very far on, you know, in terms of its production. And they actually, when they originally reported this, was before the Bad Batch came out. Or when Bad Batch was announced, but they also broke that as well. So they had them as two different shows. And basically at the time they'd said there was an animated Rebels sequel coming, and it was coming soon. So the fans basically got really hyped about that. We then started revealing some of our sources about the kind of live action stuff that was coming. There was an Ahsoka series coming, there was a Boba Fett series coming, possibly Thrawn. We've been told that Thrawn and Ezra is coming to live action as well, previously, and that there was all get connected in some way to one larger arc, which of course matches up what was announced at Disney Investors Day.
Yes.
So we had asked our source originally, did you hear anything about this animated Rebels sequel? And at the time, they didn't know anything about it. So we ran a story, and the KRD guys were saying, and that's when we started kind of really talking to the guy and kind of sharing what we were learning from each other, and, you know, crediting each other where needed. So so we kind of became a little bit friendly with those guys, because what we know is the information that they're getting, we're hearing similar things. And sometimes when we're breaking a story, they're going, yeah, we've actually kind of heard something similar to that as well. So we know we're kind of singing off the same hymn sheet. The only thing that we ever kind of ever seemed to be out there was this animated Rebels sequel. So KRT got a bit more information, and this kind of matches what I thought had happened, not from what we'd been told at the time, but just what in my head was a solution to this, which was, yes, they were going to make a Rebels sequel until The Mandalorian Season 1. And once that was the big success it was, and Dave Filoni had come over to the live-action universe, that Jon Favreau has basically told or asked Dave to bring that stuff over into the live-action, that's what made kind of more sense to me. The fact, you know, casting Rosario Dawson, announcing an Ahsoka show, you know, the rumours that we've heard about a Thrawn Ezra thing coming, the fact that, you know, Thrawn was name dropped, you know, in The Mandalorian itself, and we've been told it's all kind of building towards something. To me, I think Thrawn's going to be like either the big bad or something like that, you know, that's going to involve him going forward. So it seemed like they were pushing in that direction, and kind of that's what KRT have said this week, that that's basically what they've heard, that there was an animated Rebel show. It was really quite well on. I think maybe almost like half complete scripts, you know, it was short, it was, you know, the animated guys were all working on it, apparently some of the voice actors were doing work on it as well, and then there was this change of focus. And what they say is basically Favreau then convinced Filoni to go in this direction and go live action instead. So essentially what the Rebels sequel is at the moment, or the next step of that, is all we can really say right now, is what we're going to find out next, both in Book of Boba Fett, The Mandalorian Season 3, Ahsoka Season 1, Rangers of the New Republic Season 1, and then who knows where, you know, things go after that. That's all we know that's been, you know, like officially announced at the moment. And that, you know, that kind of makes sense. So, you know, we spoke to a source, and, you know, yeah, pretty much we were told, yeah, that's yeah, it's pretty accurate. So, you know, we can really kind of corroborate that's similar to what we've heard as well, as what the guys have actually kind of put out there for this scoop. What they did say, though, is that they kind of, they don't think necessarily an animated Rebels sequel is actually dead, because you could call these live actions almost like Rebels successors, but some of the fans won't consider it a sequel unless they get a proper animated show, because there's a lot of fans who actually prefer the animated side of the Star Wars sometimes to the live action.
God, animation's so terrible.
Because I like Rebels, I like the Clone Wars, I'm not a fan of the animation styles for them, but then I'm not an animation fan in general, outside of Tom and Jerry. Which, you know, is the greatest ever. But you know, I'm happier as a fan that they're kind of going in a live action direction, because I just think there's a certain tone to live action that sometimes you don't get right in animated, that you can't just quite do the same character stuff, because you can't get into the characters in the same way in an animated form as you can where you get an actor. Obviously, the voice works great in all the Star Wars shows, that's not what I'm getting at, but there's something about the character's voice, the face on screen, all at the same time. Something like, you know, Esposito in The Mandalorian, which we've gushed about in previous, you know, versions, or Pedro Pascal and some of the performance that he pulls off in the kind of final episodes of The Mandalorian when he takes his helmet off. And Kel, if you want to hear Kel and I bang on about how great some of that was, the little touches there, go back and listen to our reviews of The Mandalorian Season 2, because we were fans. Yeah, Esposito, Pascal, fantastic. Even Weathers, I thought, was absolutely brilliant in Season 2. Anyway, and that your point is that you just don't quite, for me as a fan, get that in animation. You wouldn't get that level of detail where we'd be sitting, oh, Pascal was amazing. You know, you just wouldn't get that for animation. And I can't help that, but...
You could... You're right. You wouldn't be able to get as detailed and gushy over performances, because all you're getting is the voice, but you get other things to gush over if it's gush
it's a bit,
worthy,
it's a bit,
and that's the animation.
But then animation's got so many different styles, and you get different fans of different styles, don't you?
Right. You know what I mean? And that's where I think the disconnect is, because I'm a lot like you. Well, I'm different than you. You actually liked quite a bit of Clone Wars and Rebels.
As it went on, the first season of Rebels, it took and the a while. First season of Clone Wars was really quite pants. You know, Filoni had to grow into both of those shows for me before it kind of really kicked off. And even then, there was some questionable shit in there as well, which, you know, I'm prepared to forgive as an overall thing. But yeah, I enjoyed them. Yeah, I enjoyed most of it.
Right. And I didn't, but the group that is loudest wanting it now is the group that, of course, grew up with it. While you and I finally are like, holy shit, here for the first time
stuff in live since again.
Since the re-releases of the special edition, for the first time we're getting Star Wars in live action again. And somebody can hit the dislike button and yell at me all you want. Don't hate the sequel trilogy, but I would gladly give it up to get the Sword of the Jedi trilogy books back.
I would give it up for them to be able to do something new with where this is all going at the moment.
Yeah.
In a heartbeat. Like, that's how much I despise the sequel trilogy. The prequels, I have said it before, they are a decent enough concept that is supremely badly executed and ruined by being badly shot, badly directed, badly performed, badly written. But the idea is solid. The sequel trilogy is the opposite of that, and somehow that makes it worse to me. It's got no soul. There's no soul in the sequel trilogy.
But Cam, how about that amazing graphics space fight in the beginning of Sith and that beautiful, wonderful dance they did at the end? I don't know why they danced, but they danced.
Revenge of the Sith, it's actually pretty cool the way it goes in. My issue with it was it turns...
Once they start talking.
Once they start talking, it goes off. Yeah, it's good until they start talking. I'm like, you know, can you go back well, listen, that, we probably said this exact same thing. In yeah, fact, I'm sure we did when we reviewed that, and it, the movie.
And it looks like a... it looks like a PS2 game.
Well, you know, it didn't at the time. You know, because then we had PS1 games. Anyway...
Anyways.
So, you know, actually we're quite similar to the KRT guys in that respect, because I know Corey is like right into the animation sort of stuff, and Noah's not so much. He's like you, he's never watched like the Clone Wars or All the Rebels mm-hmm. or anything like that. He's more kind of live action, so he's kind of happier with this, whereas Corey's like, I kind of want to see the animated Rebels sequel. But what they said is they think that there is still hope for a kind of Rebels sequel, an animated show further down the line again, that it won't be kind of completely flung out, and they think that there is a chance that some of those characters could go back into animation again at some point for a show. I'm not sure. I think that's a good plan to have, and Filoni probably thinks, oh yeah, I'd like to go back to animation one day, and you know, I'm not going to stick with this forever, but I think he'll get the bug, and I think he'll get the live action bug, and I don't think he'll go back anytime soon. It's just my opinion, but
didn't Filoni say that he wanted Ahsoka's story to end in animation the way it started?
I don't know if
started?
He ever actually said that, but that's kind of that seems to be like what they're kind of hinting at, that you know that seems to be what Filoni is thinking. I just don't know if he'll be thinking the same thing in 2 or 3 years though, Kyle. You know, because things change.
Right.
That's all.
But
I'm
what about
saying.
This? What about a Disney Plus animated Ahsoka movie for him to end?
I mean, I'm up for
his
that.
Story with her.
It doesn't bother me, but would all the fans that have been fans of the Ahsoka and the Mando version of that, would they all go and watch the animated movie? Because I know people that won't watch things if they're animated,
no,
because
I
they
probably
think cartoons
wouldn't.
Are for kids. I am not one of those people.
No.
I've just said I'm not big in animation. I'm not, but I have no problem watching cartoons. No problem at all.
Yeah,
I
love
can
cartoons.
Enjoy cartoons very much. But they don't give me that sense of drama that I can get from live action. That's all I was saying, you know. But cartoons are still fantastic, so I would watch it. But would I then be thinking, I'd have rather that was a live-action movie with Mario Dawson and good special effects, and you could even put that in the bloody theatres, you know, and that's, if it becomes really popular, can you see them going back the way? I just don't know. I mean, maybe for the fans, I hope that you get what you want one day, you know what I mean? I absolutely do.
They can just, do both. I mean,
it seems as if there's hope left anyway. There is hope there that something else could come further down the line. But for the moment, it looks like that story is going to carry on in live action. They said a few other things as well. There was the fact that Sabine, it's kind of obvious, but you know, they've said Sabine should be a part of the Ahsoka series. She's expected to be a kind of regular character. And actually, Rosario Dawson, I think it was yesterday or today, somebody had said a story about, you know, maybe it was from the guy saying that there was, you know, something that Rosario Dawson liked that was about Sabine being in the Ahsoka series, or it was a fan saying, I really hope Sabine's going to be in it, and she liked it. So I could see that happening. Yeah, that definitely sounds as if, you know, again, from what we've heard, I have nothing to kind of doubt that. That sounds good to me. Is all I'll say there. I think that pretty much covers that, and it's kind of a big thing because, you know, this is something that's kind of been going on for a while. The point was, you know, a lot of the fans out there think, well, we're just KRT wrong about this, you know, and that never seemed to. And the more we got to know the guys and compare sources with each other, we thought, you know, maybe we're wrong and everything like that. You know, we were thinking at the time. And now it sounds like we know what's happened, you know what I mean? So it's good to kind of get that cleared up.
Here's the dirty little secret, ladies and gentlemen, and since Mike's not around, I'll bring it up. You little piss ants that bitched about the damn Mandalorian trailer being shifted. Shit changes sometimes, and a story that is legit good and information that is 100% legit today in 48 hours can be canceled 100%,
yeah,
or shifted left or right on the calendar.
Like, a trailer is somebody going, go. That's all it takes,
yeah,
for somebody to do a trailer.
Exactly.
You can't change your mind about something getting into production. Pictures
well,
have been
no,
seen.
No, you
of,
can.
You know, but
you
not
can.
That quickly. Not that quickly. Mm. Do you know what I mean?
Some,
if you filmed
some have. It's not smart.
If someone's filmed already and you saw a character on set, you know, pretty much they're going to be in it. That's not going to suddenly change kind of last minute. But
yeah.
A trailer literally can change. They can decide right up until...
Exactly.
Any time before it, they're not going to go ahead.
Yeah. And that's all I'm saying is anybody that gave KRT flack for when Investor Day and us for when Investor Day.
Not the
Mando trailer, but flack for the Rebel sequel not being announced. Like, guys, the plan was obviously, at least at very, very, very minimum, seriously discussed, and at maximum, put into serious pre-production.
I mean,
shit.
It sounds
but,
as if they were going ahead with,
yeah,
that, you know.
But
and that's
shit
what Filoni was going to work
changes.
On.
So
and I hope
and
change
whatever.
For the better.
Yeah,
that's that. I hope change for the better because as a fan, that's all we're saying. I'm a fan of live action, so for me, it's good news. But I understand that animated fans might be pissed off with it. But don't, you know, don't be pissed off because I think there's going to be a lot more animated Star Wars shows coming, and I'm sure Dave Filoni wants to go back to animated at some point. But we just have to see how that shakes out. But for the next while, Filoni is live action for the moment. So yeah, that pretty much covers that side of things, which is probably
well,
the kind of biggest thing this week.
Yeah.
What do you want to talk about next?
That's a big deal, but I want to mention the Liam Neeson thing, and I only want to mention it because the guy reminded me of a less vocal Alec Guinness about his Star Wars experience. And the fact that
even McGregor was more vocal than him about being bad, he's back. That's what you've got to think about. Ford was more vocal than McGregor about it, and he come back. So
Liam Neeson's
actually been quite, you know what I mean, nice.
He was quiet, but so was Guinness. Guinness is famous because of like the little
Guinness
boy's autograph story. Like, that's where his animosity makes him famous for. And that's what I was saying is there's just been a few times out there where Neeson has been like, he's hit that movie, the one
but
with the M-word and stuff.
So
he's hit it hard, right? And so to hear him
it's not
say...
his fault. He was one of the best fucking things in the movie. He was good as Qui-Gon Jinn. We all liked fucking Qui-Gon Jinn. Obi-Wan was like a cardboard cutout in that fucking movie. you know, McGregor didn't get to do anything until fucking episode 2.
Yet.
It was literally just a background character. It was that was a mistake. You know,
well,
we
don't want to get
together,
get...
but yeah.
Yeah,
the point is,
Neeson
says
to the,
he would come
reviews.
Back for Kenobi.
Yeah, go hear the reviews for the detailed stuff like Cam was getting into. But yes, you're right. He said to Collider, discussing the Obi-Wan thing and whether or not he would be a part of it. He said, "I'll be honest with you. I haven't heard that at all. Sure, I'd be up for that. Yeah." All that says to me again is this, ladies and gentlemen, and go ahead, get your mouse, put it right next to whatever negative button you can. But this is what it says. George Lucas sucks at fucking writing and directing.
Well, there's another thing that you could say that it says as well, is that Liam Neeson likes money. Because at the end of the day...
That too.
It's a job.
He did do what? Six taken
films? Here's the thing. If he is... Considering Obi-Wan is either started or literally ready to get started. I think they're building sets and stuff like that at the moment. I don't think the actors are actually on or they're filming.
Yeah, I don't think principal has started.
Yeah, I think they're building the sets and doing some stuff at the moment. Considering we know Hayden's involved, so at some point he'll be turning up for shooting, etc. Wouldn't you think they would have reached out to Liam Neeson already if they wanted him to be in it, unless it's merely some voice work, which they could ask him for down the line? And he's done before. He'd done it, you know, quite recently. He's done it a couple of times. He's done voice work for Qui-Gon Jinn, so they kind of know he would do that. My thoughts are that he might not be in it because of that, and I'm not sure he could be in it based on what we know. And I know you don't really follow the Clone Wars, Kyle, but there's only one time Qui-Gon was able to sort of appear as Obi-Wan and Yoda appear, because he never quite finished his, you know, training at that point when he died. So he could only really appear as a voice, and it was only in a very specific place when Yoda's starting to learn about his training that he could see Qui-Gon, and Qui-Gon explains at the time that that's just because of where they are. Normally he can't appear, and that's all canon, you know, so
yeah.
Could Qui-Gon even show up and it makes sense? I'm not sure. But
possibly
his voice and him having a conversation with Obi-Wan through the Force is absolutely possible, though. And, you know, they could do that and he just maybe doesn't know anything yet, because he thought, well, let's film it first. I'm sure he'll be up for it, because he was up for doing it in this and he was up for doing it in that, you know?
Yeah.
But who knows?
I honestly, like I said, to me, it just says he also wants a chance to me, it sounds like he at least wants a chance to do more with the character than he's gotten to do. Like you said, yes, he's come back
good,
for voice parts.
It doesn't seem possible.
But it doesn't seem likely.
You have the opportunity to do it. We Obi-Wan Kenobi and Ewan McGregor, you don't really have the opportunity, Qui-Gon, because the only way you could really tell a Qui-Gon story without getting yourself into a muddle is to go back in time. And considering the age Liam Neeson is now, I don't think he could play a younger version of Qui-Gon Jinn.
And we don't want to see much more de-aging on the Disney Plus side of things.
You know, permanently. You could maybe do a quick cameo of him de-aged or something like that. They did with Luke Skywalker. They could do that. But do they need that? I mean,
Nah. I think you're right. Maybe some voice disembodied force training, maybe. You know? Faint blue glow. I don't know. Maybe flashback. I honestly agree with you. I don't think he's in it in any significant way for certain, because we would have heard something. He would have heard something, and they haven't been. Well, no, that might, like you said, they would muddle things up, but Lucasfilm is not against muddling things up. So I'm going to recant and say 50-50 that he's a surprise big part of it. And if he is, I don't like it.
I think it's unlikely other than a voice. I'd actively, yes, if anyone, you know, because we know Lucasfilm execs sitting to go through our podcast with a fine tooth comb, Kyle, you know. Of course.
And take our advice to heart and soul.
Yeah. Sometimes we can't get them off the phone. but, you know, if anybody was listening to this, what I would say is, please give me Qui-Gon's voice. I would absolutely love a conversation between Obi-Wan and Qui-Gon through the Force. But I would be against seeing him physically, just for the reasons that were put out there, because it doesn't quite make sense, and it makes more sense to hear his voice.
But then again, time travel works, and the world between worlds and whatever, and
I don't see
him anyways,
at the moment.
Yeah, anyways. that's gonna about do it for this week on the Cantina, ladies and gentlemen. Like I said earlier this week, our re-release of Attack of the Clones Cantina Reviews went up. It's on YouTube channel. Speaking of that YouTube channel, go subscribe to it. Lots of podcasts there besides the Cantina Reviews. LR Mornings goes up there. I'm trying to get as much stuff going as I can, plus all the wonderful celebrity interviews. And of course, guys, our podcast channel itself. All this great content. There's a brand new anime show that started this week. Nick's Marvel show that I'm co-hosting on Mondays. We're going to start reviewing.
Yeah, sometimes I might show up on that as well from time to time.
As well as others from the site. We're going to start reviewing the WandaVision. And those will come out on Mondays. It's an exciting time, ladies and gentlemen, to not only hit that subscribe and notification or follow button, but also to go ahead and give us some likes and shares with your friends and family. And of course, go to lrmonline.com every single day for all your entertainment news, needs, and opinions. Cam, where can people find you on the internet?
Catch me on Twitter @LRM_Cam.
And you guys can find me at that. Excuse me. At that Kyle Malone on Twitter. At that one Kyle Malone on Instagram. Thank you guys so much for listening. We'll talk to you next week. May the force be with you.